verses. I got a lot of them, though. But it used to be the lullaby I would sing to my girls. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. How many are thankful that there's a morning? There's a new every morning, and that His faithfulness and His mercies are new every day to us. And we have access to that mercy, that grace, and the love of Jesus every day in our life. Amen. Never comes to an end. Never comes to an end. And I love that. I love the beauty of that. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to share the word this morning. And we've been doing a series here called Next Level. I should have asked you, put you on the spot, see if you knew what we've been preaching. Amen? But we've been talking about next level. I mean, no, all the fullness of the Godhead resides in us. Yeah. All of who God is. How many are thankful for what God accomplished at the cross? That it was enough. Yeah. Amen? That it was enough. And the power of the cross. But I believe in our lives, even as Christians and believers, that God challenges us sometimes to even greater levels. And it's not so much that we get a greater spirit or a greater anointing, but how many say you get a greater understanding of who Jesus is in your life? How many can say you have matured in your Christian walk since you first come to know Jesus? Amen. We used to sing a song as Sweeter Gets the Journey. Everybody remember that old song, Sweeter Gets the Journey Every Day? How many are thankful that it's a journey? Our relationship with Christ is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Yeah. Amen? And we talk all the time, even, you know, about birthdays and getting old, and, you know, it's not fun getting old. But let me just tell you, the alternative to that is not good. Right? So I want to get as old as I can, right? I want to celebrate every birthday that I get. Amen? Because I believe that the fullness and the mercy of God is to our generations. And, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago even about Joshua and Caleb. And I'm gonna tag off of that a little bit this morning. So let me just go back a little bit. How many know God sent Joshua and Caleb and 10 other spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the promised land, right? To spy out the land. He said, go into the land and report back what you see there. Anybody remember that story? He said, you go in and you spy out the land and you tell us what you see. And the scripture says that the spies came back from spying out the land and they said, man, it is a good land. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. It has grapes that we had to carry on a rod between us. It is a good land. Amen. But, everybody say but. Because see, here's what happens sometimes. We can see the promises of God, but can we really believe that they're for us? Can we really believe the promise of God that says that's your land, that's your inheritance, and that is set for you? And so the scripture says that Joshua and Caleb come back and said, let's go in at once and possess this land. But the 10 began to say, yeah, that's true, but there were giants in the land. And we were as grasshoppers in their eyes, and so we were in our eyes. How many know what they said is, yeah, we see everything God has provided, but I don't think it's for me. I don't think we can do this. I don't think it's the time. I don't think it's my land. I don't think it's my inheritance because there are giants in the land. I don't know about you this morning. I'm tired of looking at giants. I want to look at a giant God. Come on, I want to preach a great big God and a very little devil, because I believe when God's promises are yes and amen, and what He has set aside for us in a promised land, Joshua and Caleb said, oh no, but we are well able. You know how to spot a grasshopper? Walk in their territory. Right? I was walking down through the field the other day. Dan's on the tractor. I'm walking down through there, and something jumped up ahead of me. It was a grasshopper. Thank God it was just a grasshopper. I can handle grasshoppers. It's those other things that jump that I can't handle very good. See, grasshoppers show up when you start working on walking on their land and their territory. But a grasshopper mentality has never conquered a kingdom. Come on, somebody. And I believe God is raising up some people who have a next level mindset that says, oh, there are giants in that land, but they're eating my fruit. They're living in my houses, and they have possession of my promise. Now, you might not meet a literal giant today when you leave here, but you might be fighting a giant diagnosis. You might be facing a giant bill. You might be facing some giant depression or discouragement. You might be facing some things that seem giant today. But I want to tell you, you are well able to possess all that God has promised for you today. Amen. Because it's your inheritance. How many know inheritance is only as good as the people who possess it? If my parents would have left me $1 million in a bank, they didn't. But if they would have, and I never cashed the check, how many know I might be an heir of that, but in order to possess it, I got to cash the check. Come on, somebody. I believe we are standing on some promises of things where we need to begin to cash the check of what already has been paid for from us and realize that God has some big things in store for us. Man, I love baby dedications too, Aaron. They make me weep too. They make me cry. Because, man, I see that like a seed. I see that like a promise that God has planted in the earth. And the beauty of what God can do with one seed. See, you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apple trees from the seed. Come on, somebody, where God will take one child like a Ruth and take her out of a place that looked like it was desolate and in despair and take her to a land that she just happened to land on. Come on, somebody. Anybody here just happened to land in some places where God showed up? Where God showed up with some provision and said, you didn't get here by accident, darling, but I'm about to open your eyes to a kinsman redeemer who loves you and has spotted you before you ever even laid eyes on him. How good is God? Amen. And so what happens, because they did not believe, they spent 40 years in a wilderness that should have took them about 2 weeks to get to. What have we delayed in the promises of God by what we've confessed with our mouth? Am I in the house by myself today? See, I believe the promises of God are yes and amen. But I believe sometimes because of our unbelief, we delay what God wants to do right now. Doesn't mean he's going to change his mind about it. And it might seem like a delay, but how many know God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think? Any big thinkers in here today? Three of you. Any big thinkers in here today? Anybody about ready to ask for some big things? Because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can even ask or think. I don't know about you, but my mind is always thinking. And sometimes I wish I could turn it off with a little switch in there. They should have put a switch on the back of your head so at about 10 o'clock at night, that switch goes off. It's set on a timer, right? And you don't start thinking again until about 8 o'clock in the morning, right? Because, man, sometimes I get up in the middle of the night. I'm not the only one gets up in the middle of the night, right? I'm in the adult room tonight. The kids are, you get up in the middle of the night, I'm like, don't think. Just go do what you got to do and go back to bed. Because once my mind starts thinking, it's on, Jason. But I want to have my mind so tuned with what God is speaking to me that I begin to think big things. I begin to believe for big things. I begin to believe for what God is saying in our life. I was a stink bug. Sorry about that. Stink bugs and grasshoppers. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to go to, I'm going to try not to hold you long today because I know we've already shared a lot of things. See, the service doesn't just start when the preaching starts. It starts when we walk in the door. See, I love the sound of fellowship. Now I get up here to try to start service. It takes me 5 minutes because people are still rejoicing and still talking and still shaking hands. I love that. But then the worship breaks out. Man, I could just sit in the presence of the Lord and just worship. Because I'm going to tell you, God will heal some things in worship. Man, you'll cry some tears. It'll touch some places. Sometimes it'll wash some places in your heart and mind when we just let the presence of the Lord flow. And then the prayers that we've already prayed and the prophetic word that's come out in the house today. And then the word. But I want to share something in connection kind of even with the dedication and things that we've done. But I'm going to go to Joshua chapter 2. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. And it might be even a little bit different version. But everybody say Joshua. Son of Nun. So I want to fast forward now 40 years. Right? To Joshua. God begins to speak to Joshua. And he said, Joshua, Moses my servant is dead. That's a very prophetic word in the Old Testament. How many know God has brought the reign of Moses to completion? Not just to an end, but to completion. And he says, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead, but I'm about to raise you up and give you credentials and credit and glory in the face of the people. How many know Joshua is going to be the leader that's going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land? The name Joshua is synonymous with Jesus. And so when we see the ministry of Joshua, how many know there was a Moses covenant? There was a Moses leadership. Moses led with a rod. Remember, when he got ready to bring him across the Red Sea, it was with a rod. When he got ready to get water, it was with a rod. But how many know a Joshua generation is on the scene and is raising up, and God's about to take them in with a mercy seat? But he sent two men secretly from Shittim as scouts, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, behold, there came men in here tonight of the Israelites to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring forth the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. So she said, yes, two men came to me, but I did not know from where they have come. I lost my place. Yes, two men came to me, but I did not know from where they had come. And at gate closing time after dark, the men went out. Where they went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order there. So the men pursued them to Jordan as far as the fords. As soon as pursuers had gone, the city gates were shut, but the two men had laid down. Rahab came up to them on the roof, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the east side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted. Somebody mentioned that already today. Neither did spirit or courage remain any more in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now I pray you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and will give me a sure sign and save alive my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all they have, and deliver us from death. And the men said to her, our lives for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the town wall, so that she dwelt in the wall. And she said unto them, get to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and afterward you may go your way. The men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath you have made us swear. The responsibility is now yours. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall bind this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall bring your father and mother, your brothers, and your father's household into your house. And if anyone goes out of the doors of the house into the street, the blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. But if a hand is laid upon anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, we shall be guiltless of your oath, which you made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so it is. Then she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Amen. How many believe God cares about family? So the spies come into the land of Jericho, and Joshua sends the spies, and they come in to spy out the land, and they go to the house of Rahab, the harlot, and she realizes who they are. And I love this about Rahab, because she begins to tell them what they're there for and why and all about their God. See, what we see here is Rahab says, we know, we have heard about your God in Egypt. We've heard about how he brought you across the Red Sea on dry ground. We have heard about water from the rock. We have heard about manna from heaven. We have heard, and our hearts have melted within us. How many know a Rahab, a woman who they labeled a harlot, recognized the God of the spies who came into the land? Don't you ever underestimate the power of God to move in the house of someone whose heart has been unto God. Perhaps they had sat in Jericho and had looked over Jordan and seen the encampment in the wilderness and saw a pillar of fire by day and a cloud by night and said, that is the host of Israel, the encampment of Israel, and the God of Israel shall prevail. Do you see, it was those who they thought were the enemy were the ones confessing and saying, we know about your God. Come on, we spend so much time talking about the devil and the power that the devil has, and the enemy is confessing all the power that God has. Amen? She's telling them how big their God is. We've heard about you. We've known you've been coming. We know that God is about to give you this land. However, I want to, because I have protected your spies, I want protection for my household. Anybody in here want some protection over your household? And the spies begin to say, here's what's going to happen. When we come back, everyone who's in the house, you got to stay in the house. And I'm not just talking about the four walls of your house. I'm talking about the house of the Lord. There is community. There is strength. There is power in numbers that when we come together, I don't know about you, but when the worship starts, Beth started to share this morning, the tears started to go because there's something, there's a deep that calls to deep that says the anointing and presence of the Lord is in the house. And I recognize this, and I want to be in the house where God is moving and protecting and saving and rescuing. Amen? And so he says, here's what I want you to do. I want to get your family. I want you to get your family in the house. Amen? Man, don't ever underestimate the power of training up a child in the way that they should go. And I don't care what it looks like right now. Because the promises of God are yes and amen. And regardless of what you see, that step that you said, Lord, this baby belongs to you. And you will raise them up in the fear and admonition. I don't care what you see right now. I care what the word says. Amen. And so she said, get your family in the house. And when we come, my life for yours, if there's not protection over them. But they said, but you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to put a scarlet cord in your window. I titled this sermon this morning, From Harlot to Scarlet. Come on, somebody. From Harlot to Scarlet. Because she understood the power of lineage. She understood the power of the blood. How many know when the children of Israel got ready to come out of Egypt? The final plague, he said, I want you to take a lamb into house, but I want you to put the blood, what? On your house. Put it on your house. Put it on the doorpost. Not just get some blood on the doorpost, but get the lamb in the house. And he said, the death angel is going to pass over. That's where we get Passover from. It's going to pass over. And when it does, it's going to see the blood and it will pass over you. How many know the enemy has no power in your house because the blood has already been applied to the doorpost of your house? How many know when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you applied that blood to the doorpost of your heart? And what the death angels saw when they passed over, they said, no use even stopping there. There's already been a death exacted there. There's already been a lamb that's been slain. There's already blood that's been applied. Back when COVID hit, everybody was in their house, right? We just started putting scarlet cords on our doorpost. We started anointing doorposts. Now, did that scarlet cord have any power? Maybe not in the material. God doesn't save by cotton, as far as I know. But when I looked at that cord on my door, it reminded me of the power of Jesus to deliver us out of bondage and slavery and across the Dead Sea and to bring us into a place of promise. I've anointed my kids' doorpost. I've anointed their cars. Come on, somebody. I pray the blood of Jesus over them. But she went from a harlot to a scarlet cord. That word harlot actually means, it's a word, the Hebrew word is zona, and zona means highly fed, but therefore wanting. I mean, no, that speaks of a harlot system. Highly fed, but still wanting. She said, we've heard how you dried up the Red Sea. You defeated kings and kingdoms. We've heard about you. And so also the scarlet curtains that hung in the tabernacle, same color, scarlet, all of those things. And I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning. I'm not going to be too long. But I want to talk to you a little bit about that scarlet cord. I believe scarlet cord talks about, it's called a scarlet curtain, scarlet thread, scarlet cord. How many know it's symbolic of the blood of Jesus that resides in your house? Amen. Believe that. Amen. But Isaiah 1:18-20 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I mean, though the scripture says, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Only Jesus can take a darkened sinner, wash him with red blood, and make him white as snow. Amen. But that word crimson there and scarlet are synonymous. They are the same word. And when it talks about that, I want to talk about the color crimson and where it comes from. It comes from the word, it comes from a worm called the Tola worm. And you'll know that there's certain people in the Bible named Tola, but that is a translation of the word worm. But I want you to listen about this crimson worm. It says, when a mother crimson worm is ready to lay the eggs, it finds its way toward a specific type of tree. She then makes a difficult ascent up the side of the tree, knowing that she will never come back down again. She comes there to give life to her children and then to give up her own life. Once she reaches her spot and secures herself to the tree, her shell turns into a hard crimson shelter. It's under this covering where her eggs are hatched. For 3 days, everybody say 3 days, she provides protection for her children. She also provides life for 3 days as the babies feed on her body until she dies. Once the mother dies, she produces a crimson dye that stains the tree and the children underneath her. The babies are now crimson worms for the rest of their lives. After 3 more days, something fascinating happens to the mother's crimson worm. Her tail pulls into her head, forming a body shaped like a heart. Although the crimson stain remains on the tree, the mother worm is no longer crimson. She is now a snowy, white, waxy substance that disintegrates into falling flakes. Wow. Can you see how this worm points us to Jesus? There is probably no psalm that prophesies of and points us to Jesus' suffering and death as much as Psalms 22. The whole psalm takes us on a vivid journey through the hours of Christ's suffering on the cross. There he hung, surrounded by the Gentile dogs who pierced his hands and feet. They stared at him. They shook their heads at him and mocked him. They cast lots for his garment. You can envision Jesus on that cross, exhausted and dehydrated. And who can ever forget Jesus crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But then there is this verse, I am a worm and no man. Jesus himself, a worm, a lowly, disgusting, vile insect, something that lives in the dirt, the darkness beneath the earth. Oh, yes. Now you know that Jesus didn't become just any worm, but a crimson worm. Just as the mother crimson worm goes to the oak tree voluntary to give her life for her children, so Jesus offered himself on the tree of the cross for your sins according to the will of God. Just as the crimson worm bleeds out a scarlet dye in the death she endures for her children, so Jesus poured out his blood in dying for you and all those whom the Father gave unto him. Just as the baby crimson worms are stained and the crimson dye that comes from their mother, so are you washed from your sins and covered in Jesus' own precious blood. And just like the mother crimson worm transformed into snow whiteness 3 days after her death, so also Jesus was transformed in his body, rose again after 3 days, and all that so you can be clothed for all eternity with his righteousness and be as clean and white as snow. It is a forever stain. When we look at the scripture, Jesus is on the cross and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I've heard a whole lot of people preach, you know, why they think God was, that Jesus was forsaken on the cross. Well, God couldn't look at sin, or God had to turn his head, or all kinds of things I've heard. That's not what was happening in Psalms 20, on the cross. What Jesus is doing is quoting Psalms 22 that starts out and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he quotes to them the scripture of the very thing that's going to happen to him on the cross, so that those who had any understanding of the Psalms would have known, oh, I know what he's saying. And the crimson cross. The cross has been stained by crimson blood. In that psalm, he calls himself a worm. He's not just talking about something lowly. He's talking about a crimson worm that forever would stain a cross, that the children and offspring of that scarlet flow would forever be stained by the works of the cross. That's the power of the scarlet thread. That's the power of the cross. And so those spies said to her, put the scarlet cord in the window, mark the house, and so that when things get ready to go down in Jericho, your house might be saved. Now, I love this, and I'm closing with this. Lynn shared this morning in a prophetic word about the power of Ruth and how she came into the lineage of Jesus. Rahab marries Salmon, who's also in that lineage. Without a Rahab, there wouldn't have been the Boaz, and there wouldn't have been the lineage that Lynn was sharing about this morning. I want to tell you this morning, I don't know what you've labeled yourself. I don't know what you call yourself. I don't know where you are in your relationship with the Lord, but I want to tell you, when you begin to hang a scarlet cord in the window, things begin to change, and the power of the cross becomes the covering that is on your house, and as you begin to cover your house, you invoke everything that the cross paid for, and everything that the cross had in store for you, you have a right to possess that. Amen? Amen. Salmon begets Boaz. Boaz begets Obed. And Obed begets David, right? Jesse. And Jesse begets David. And so on, and so on, and so on. You know who gets in the great lineage in Matthew? Ruth, Rahab, Tamar, Bathsheba, and Mary. Stand to your feet with me this morning. See, it's not always about your lineage. It's about your understanding and who you're connected to. Who they begin to be connected to, God put a scarlet thread in the door that has followed all the way to the book of Revelation. There's so much more. If you get a chance to look into this crimson worm, it is a beautiful story. It will help you understand Psalms 22. And how many are thankful for this morning for the power of the cross? Amen. As they're playing a song this morning, I just want you to bow your heads. We're going to give invitation. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, man, we would love to pray with you. We would love for you to receive Jesus this morning. If there's a need that you have, if there's something that you want God to do for you this morning, we would love to pray with you, because I believe all that God promised you is yours. It's yes and amen through the power of the blood and the power of the cross this morning. Hallelujah. As we